Hey everyone, Boomer Esiason here. The NFL draft is behind us and your favorite team is now gearing up for week number one. The free Odyssey app puts you right in the middle of the pro football conversation with the biggest sports radio stations from across the country. The local voices who know your team the best, giving you their unfiltered takes on the current state of your squad. It's always football season right here on the free Odyssey app.
We are live. We're out here on the veranda, just a stone's throw away from the river. And we've been talking about how the aquarium and the insectarium has brought the river into this venue, unlike the original construction of this building. And my next guest probably knows more about the view of the river and what it means to folks than most folks, because he is the general manager of a venue just next door, The View Orleans. I've had the opportunity to interview him before. Very interesting individual. David Rand, welcome to the show.
Thank you so much, sir. Thanks for having me today.
So, David, I mean it. I mean, you're in the business of selling the view.
Correct.
So to
That's
speak.
Correct. Yep, absolutely.
You know, and I don't know if you've had an opportunity to work your way through the aquarium and the insectarium yet, but you've seen the changes in the facade. They brought the view inside.
Oh, my goodness. I can't wait. I'm actually, right after we finish this, I'll be heading inside to check out the venue. I'm looking forward to it. I think we're also thrilled to have it reopen again and to help tie in this area of the city. When you look at the mural that they put up from our outside, from our view top on top of the View Orleans, it's absolutely beautiful and incredible. It's a wonderful tie-in for the city.
So if you would, for the benefit of the listening audience, share with us what people say about, you know, having a spot where they can go view the river, view the city, see Lake Pontchartrain, gain a better understanding of what the meaning of English Turn actually is and why.
You know, we just passed a year opening in March of this year. View Orleans, as we know, the incredible indoor and outdoor observation deck and historical museum that tells the story of the people.
On top of the World Trade Center.
On top of the World Trade Center at 2 Canal Street, sharing the building with Four Seasons Hotel. The feedback from our guests, if you see our reviews online and the feedback that we get from our guests, is we have presented such an incredible telling of the story of the people, the food, the music, the culture, everything that makes up this beautiful city. And the views that you get from us, just this morning as I was doing my morning walk, a gentleman was up there and he was looking intently out at the West Bank. And I always ask people, are you looking for your house? Everybody seems to be looking for their home when they're up there. And he said, you know, I've lived here for 17 years and I've never seen the city like this. Right. And that's just such an incredible thing to hear, that people are seeing their city again for the first time with us. And that's such an incredible part. To be part of that is just so awesome.
That's an interesting perspective,
yeah,
right?
We're bringing a new, I love to use the pun, a new view of the city.
Right.
Like I said, he's been here 17 years, this gentleman, he told me today, and he's never seen the West Bank look like that.
Yeah.
That's just so cool.
You know, it's interesting, too, and Michael Heck said it. He was the guest that was just on with us. He was walking up here, and he said, you know, something looked different, and then he realized that old ferry building's gone, you know, and it just really has opened this up, and I guess maybe one of the motivations as to why they opened up the facade of the aquarium, because there was no other way to describe that building other than to say it was pretty butt ugly. But
it was, that's for sure. The whole opening of this riverfront area, when there's still some pieces that are still being finished with the Caesars project and the ferry terminal, with the new terminal looks absolutely gorgeous. The lush green riverfront that this city will have and that locals and tourists will be able to enjoy is an incredible tie-in, and will tie in this foot of Canal Street like this city's never seen. It's so energetic, so open, so beautiful it's going to be. The city's going to be very proud of what they're going to have here.
You're not from here.
I'm not originally. I've been in town 3 years.
And you're from
Vegas. Originally Boston, but Vegas, right? The past 25 years.
Mm-hmm. So you've seen entertainment venues and things being developed and changing and going through a transformation, right?
Yes, absolutely. Yeah, in Vegas, I've seen over the 25 years in Vegas, I've seen a lot of the way Vegas reinvents itself. over the years as they find the way the world is changing and the way the market is changing. And I think New Orleans is following a similar pattern that is incredible. They're listening to the people that are coming in. They're listening to the locals. They're understanding how they need to open this space up and how it's transforming from the industrial commercial front to this beautiful, lush tourist and local environment. It's a wonderful evolution of this area, and we're so incredibly happy to be part of it.
You know, it's funny about Vegas. Even when there's a downturn, they're always thinking about how they're going to re-engineer themselves, and many of them double down and invest even more in the downturn.
Mm-hmm. You have to spend money to make money.
Right. Yeah. And, you know, which is the exact same thing they did here with the aquarium.
Absolutely. Ron and his team, Ron Foreman and his team are incredibly smart. They knew that coming out of the pandemic with some new attractions like ours and like the Caesars, new Caesars Tower that's being built, you need to keep up with the neighborhood. You need to, especially with such a beautiful flagship facility like the aquarium is, you need to present that fresh new face. You need to give people a reason to return and to come back a second time or a third or a fourth. Give your members an excitement to come back again. And we can't wait to be part of that as the new aquarium expansion grows and how that'll drive tourists to us, and we can share those guests back and forth, and everybody wins. It's an everybody wins scenario. The city wins from a beautiful venue. The tourists and the locals win from having beautiful attractions side by side. The aquarium wins and we win. Everybody wins.
Now, you guys have had a lot of success with revisits as well.
Yeah, I'm very, very pleased to say we've had over 60,000 visitors come through our door in the first year. I'm thrilled to say that. And we have launched our memberships also, too, as well. We've had repeat visitors come back. I have so many people that have come back in their second, third, fourth time coming to see us. They're bringing family from out of town when they come visit from Florida or Tennessee or wherever they're coming from. It's so exciting to see that repeat visitor and to see that repeat visitor come downtown again too as well.
Yeah, how do you? I've had people describe their visit, and they said they like when it's a sunny day, but they've got our afternoon showers, and they can see the storms kind of coming to the venue and the change in the perspective on the horizon of that, and see the sheet of water.
Mm-hmm.
And it's amazing how many folks have never really seen that from a high perspective.
Well, you're 34 floors up. When you're 34 floors up, you can see that storm coming from miles away. And we've watched it come pass over us, sometimes miss us. We've had it raining on one side of the building and not on the other. and you watch it come past us and go past us in the distance. And seeing that from that high up is something that you would never have had an opportunity to see from a street level or even the second floor of an apartment or anything like that. It's absolutely so fascinating to see the weather from up there.
Yeah, just another perspective and another phenomenon to view, you know, which is incredible.
You would think that an observation deck, in bad weather like that would be a detriment to it.
Right.
It's actually almost a reason to come.
Yeah.
You see a stormy day coming through, you see views from up there. I mean, we've seen lightning 108 miles out. You know, it's incredible what you see from up
absolutely.
There.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
I've heard so many stories of people's different experiences up there that have been multiple times, not just one time.
And that's one of the exciting things is that what the feedback that we get from our guests as we talk to them as they leave, and also, too, as we get surveys back and things like that, everybody takes away a different piece of our venue. Somebody comes in and the view, what they saw was the piece. Some people say that technology that we have, that incredible interactive technology that makes it fun, a fun learning experience, was the piece. Some people say that historical accuracy that we paid to, they've learned something. They've lived here all their lives and they never knew that about the city. It's exciting to see what everybody takes away, and everybody takes away a little different, and what they see differently the next time they come, because there's so much. We almost overload you a little with information, and you have to come a second time. Oh, I didn't see that yet. And we haven't even got to refreshing our attractions
yet. Well, David, your experience here is going to be exactly the same.
I'm
the interactive things that they have and the revisits. I love the synergy that's being created here at the foot of Canal Street. Is so important to the vibrancy and the success of the city, for sure.
Oh, absolutely. The some of the technology that's developed here was some of the same partners that helped do ours. So I can attest on how fantastic this new aquarium venue is going to be.
Absolutely. Yeah. David Rand, General Manager of View Orleans, thank you so much for joining us. We truly appreciate your time, your insight, and much success to you, continued success to you.
Thank you, sir. Thanks for having me.
Alrighty. We'll be right back, folks. Stay with us.
What up, y'all? It's your boy Danny Green, three-time NBA champ. You either rooted for me or rooted against me. Join myself and my co-host Harrison Sanford on the Inside the Green Room podcast.
It's a podcast that brings you never-before-told tales from the locker room to candid interviews with basketball legends to breakdowns of what's happening in the NBA right now. Whether you're a diehard fan or casual about your hoops, this podcast brings you the game like never before.
Follow Inside the Green Room on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome back, folks. We are broadcasting live from the grand reopening of the Audubon Aquarium and Audubon's Insectarium. And if you want to get a flavor for the breadth and depth of the reach of this facility, it goes beyond the front doors of this facility. And the gentleman that we're visiting with now, John Fallon, Director of Sustainability and Coastal Conservation Initiatives, joins us. John, welcome and congratulations.
Thank you. Thank you for having me.
So, John, tell us a little bit about what it is that you do.
So, I work on all the things that happen outside of the building. So, here you get to come and see all these great animals, about them, and then what I do is my team, we help protect them in their natural habitat.
So, that entails what?
So, we've got a bunch of different programs. So, some of our key programs here, we've got a sustainable fishery seafood program, super important here in Louisiana, right?
With
the second largest commercial fishery in the U.S. We do a lot of work with marine mammals and sea turtles, training and rehab. We're the only rehab facility in Louisiana for dolphins and sea turtles. We work on things that also impact those species. So, reducing our waste streams, reducing plastic, marine plastic. But we also work with different species and partner with other aquariums and zoos to do international work, too, with sea turtles and penguins and songbirds and all kinds of things.
So outside other places is very much an educational experience for you in learning and bringing that back to this facility, right?
Yeah. So, you know, one of the ways that we worked with this reopening is we were content experts. So we made sure that we were incorporating that understanding into everything that everyone gets to visit here, because most people can't go out and see all these things, right?
Right.
And so we want them to understand that when you come here, you learn about the natural world, you learn about what Audubon's doing to protect that outside of these walls, and hopefully you can carry that out with you when you leave the building.
Yeah. How rewarding is what you do?
It's very rewarding. I used to work in the building in our husbandry department taking care of our animals, which is an awesome job. But to actually be out there making sure that they are, you know, doing well in their homes. It's super rewarding. I mean, it's what we do here. It's the reason why these facilities exist, why zoos and aquariums are here, is to protect those species in the wild.
Yeah. We were just talking about, you know, when there's oil spills or something that challenges the sea world out there, that you guys play a role in that too.
Yeah. So, obviously, in 2010, we played a big role. We responded and rehabbed almost 200 sea turtles. So cleaning those animals, if they come into contact with it, if there is something that happens out there, our team is usually out to keep an eye out for marine mammals or sea turtles that are impacted by those events. So, you know, I think it's important for people to realize that Audubon has these great things, but we're out there in the field doing the work too.
You just shared a story with me. I was telling you about some work that my son does, and he says, I never understood the importance of the product Dawn with animals that are, you know, embedded, you know, covered with oil or some other substance. And you said mayonnaise. And I was like, mayonnaise, really?
Mayonnaise, yeah. So definitely could tell you Dawn works, because I helped scrub a lot of sea turtles at that time. But one thing we learned is that if we injected mayonnaise into their digestive tract, it would bond and then take out any contaminants that were in there too. So, you know, Dawn and mayo help save a lot of sea turtles.
It's kind of interesting. Obviously, if you had to say on a scale of 1 to 10 and just pick a species, let's just say sea turtles, scale of 1 to 10, how much do we really know about them?
You know, it's We're definitely learning a lot all the time. And there's different species of sea turtles. I think we're doing pretty well with an understanding on them. Maybe I'll call it a 7. Yeah. But we're always learning more. And, you know, conservation is, it's about exploration and learning. And it's a kind of a young field when you think about it. But, you know, we're still learning about how they nest, where they nest, what they do, different habitats. So it's always a process in understanding these species because we don't get to see them all the time out there.
You know, I have this thirst for knowledge, and I'm sure you do too, but that quest in actually going out there and experiential and being hands-on, that has to be incredibly rewarding.
Oh, yeah, yeah. I mean, it's to just be there and see these species happening and to learn really from them. That's what we're doing. We're learning from them to understand them better. It's super rewarding work, and I feel very fortunate to be able to do it here.
It's amazing when I talk to the folks here, they almost refer to the animals that are here like they're a brother or a sister. You know, and part of the family. And I love that about the field.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. I mean, you definitely get bonded to the animals here. And it's not just, it is a family, right? And not to call them pets. They're certainly not. Right. But you definitely create a bond when you work with these animals every day. You're their caretaker. You're there to make sure that they are happy and healthy and that people get to come and enjoy them.
So did you get an opportunity to go in a tank as well when you worked in the husbandry division?
Because
had the director of the Vinio, I think, the director of husbandry.
Yeah. So I was an aquarist for 4 years, and I took care of just about everything in the building, but my primary was our Amazon area. And so I would dive once a week, clean everything, go in the big Gulf of Mexico exhibit. So don't get in much anymore in my new job, but yeah.
You miss it? It's hard work. I watched a video one day, it must have been about 20 minutes long, about the intricate detail of everything inside that tank that has to get scrubbed.
Oh, yeah. It's a lot. I do like it, though, and here's what I'll say. It's quiet. You're underwater. It's nice and relaxing.
You don't have to worry about the cell phone ringing.
No one's calling me on the radio. Sometimes I would just really take my time, you know.
Yeah.
But that's definitely a key part of it, is making sure that you got to get in those exhibits to take care of them. So.
Yeah, yeah. And I guess a lot of the knowledge that you gain outside, bringing inside, it changes the protocols of how you deal with the animals inside the facility.
Yeah, exactly. So the more we learn about these animals and their environment, we can make sure that we're taking care of them better here. So we can update their habitats, we can change, it could be temperature, salinity, water parameters. So everything that we're learning about them in the wild, we want to make sure that we're offering them here and giving them here. We try to take that back when we can.
You know, it's interesting. Most every place you go, they're trying to desalinize water. Y'all are actually salinizing water.
Yes, yeah, we are. We do a couple salt mixes a year. So we've got big vats that are underneath the aquarium where we physically mix salt water to make sure that we have it for our species here. It's a lot of fun. I used to do them when I was in husbandry. But, you know, we don't have the advantage. Some places will pump in their salt water.
Their salt water, yeah.
Obviously, we've got the mighty Mississippi, not great for salt water out here for
right.
us. But yeah, so we make everything in-house.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, congratulations, and thank you for joining us, and congratulations on the difference makers that all of y'all and your team are, both outside and inside the facility. We really appreciate it.
No, thank you so much for being here.
All righty. Thank you, sir. We'll be right back, folks. That was John Fallon, Director of Sustainability and Coastal Conservation Initiatives. Gives you an idea of the breadth and depth of the reach of the Audubon Institute and what they do here with our ecology, with the maintenance of these animals. It's just so very, very important, very impressive. We'll be right back. Stay with us. Welcome back, folks. We are broadcasting live from the Audubon Aquarium and Audubon Insectarium. It's a marriage now. They are together. And our next guest is, I've known for a number of years. I've known of his passion. I've followed his career. It's been absolutely incredible. Zach Lemon, he is in charge of the Insectarium here, and he's all things insects.
You got that mostly right. I'm not in charge of the insectarium. Oh, I'm just the loudest guy here.
You're just the loudest guy here. Okay, well, I stand corrected. So how exciting is this today?
This is fantastic. We had a great museum, but we were excited about getting over here. This is now the only facility in the world where there is an aquarium and an insectarium under the same roof. And we've had a chance to rethink and redesign a lot of our exhibitry, and we've done a great job. We have a beautiful butterfly garden that overlooks the river with hundreds of butterflies flying around in it. We have, as you enter the facility, a 260-foot wall, and your presence generates digital fireflies and butterflies that look like the real thing that fly around and interact with you. We've got about 55 live bug exhibits, and I know you're excited about this, Newell. A place where you can eat bugs.
Yes. One of the first times we had dinner, if you recall, you talked about the bugs, the inventory of bugs that you actually eat.
Well, that conversation was a while ago. It's probably expanded. I mean, yeah. I hope I have since then. But, you know, people, and you may be one of them, I don't know, we haven't had a discussion about it yet. People are sometimes a little anxious about this, and one of my first responses, especially for this listening audience, is if it's coming from a South Louisiana kitchen, it might be weird, but you know it's going to be good.
Yeah, absolutely, absolutely. So what do we have here?
I have brought a couple of different cricket dishes and waxworm dishes. Waxworms are a type of caterpillar. And I'll remind everyone that to the extent that we eat things like crawfish and crabs and shrimp, these are basically the same thing. They just live on land instead.
Right.
So I have chocolate chirp cookies, the cleverly named chocolate and crispy Cajun crickets. So I got a savory and I got a sweet. And likewise, I have some waxworms that were fried, and they have like cheese and garlic flavoring on them.
All right. Well, I'll go in on those right now.
Oh, they're great. I'll have some with you. And then we'll both be eating on the radio, which is probably fantastic, right?
Almost, like a Cheeto, almost.
That's what a lot of people say. And, I mean, we design it to taste good. It's not a dare.
Yeah, it tastes great. Absolutely.
Yeah. Now, this waxworm here has been poached and cooked with a mango and apple chutney, and it's on a little cracker. Try this one. It's a little buggier looking, I suppose. A lot of people say that because the waxworms are in water initially, and so they're still kind of soft. However, they are great. Isn't that nice?
That is awesome.
Yeah. Yeah.
They're really good.
So we don't horse around and when
and
we cook,
these are the
crispy Cajun crickets.
The crispy Cajun crickets.
Yeah. This all is right. funny because you know.
Let's try this.
You know I'm going on with Scoot later. You're gonna eat all Scoot's food. I'm gonna have to go back
upstairs.
You're
gonna have to go back
and
get some more.
That's fine. That's okay. These are so good. I enjoy them.
Oh, those are delicious.
Yes, they really are good. I mean I'll snack on those all day long. And people say, do you eat those? I'm like, yeah, I eat those. That's why I'm a big, strong boy.
Absolutely. Absolutely. What's unique about this protein?
What's interesting
from
is...
From a nutritional standpoint.
It's interesting because that's been studied quite a lot more in recent years. There are a lot of very serious people who are interested in environmental and ecological benefits of eating insects in addition to the benefits to human health. So in the first place, just taking a step back from your initial question, producing a pound of edible bug is a lot easier than producing a pound of edible beef or chicken, both of which I like, but the amount of grain and water that needs to go into those animals versus bugs to get something we can eat is it's very inefficient.
Right.
So bugs are great as a farming option for the planet. But for us, you've got a very good balance of protein, carbohydrate, and fat across many different insects that have been tested. The funny thing is you said at the outset, well, it's protein, right? And that's for some reason that's in most people's brains, is that bugs are high in protein. But just like the ratios of protein and carbohydrate and fat aren't the same in a fish and a cow. They're not the same in a dragonfly and a caterpillar either. But as a general rule, a diet of bugs is a healthy way to go. It really is.
So tell us a little bit about more about the venue. The butterflies are always incredible, right?
They are. And so, you know, the idea is understanding that not everyone is comfortable with the notion of going into a museum full of insects and spiders. We start with that terrific experience that I outlined before where you've got fireflies and butterflies, monarch butterflies all around you. And then butterflies is how we close the show. Well, to be honest, you got to go through the gift shop after the butterflies, there's a reason for that, too.
They call that the Disney model, don't they?
all I know is they call it the, if we have more money, we can do more conservation and educational
there
work model, and that's what we're after. We want people to appreciate insects for their inherent beauty, their amazing diversity, their fantastic natural history, but they're also very important for us ecologically. They pollinate plants, they aerate soil, they decompose and recycle all sorts of organic material, and all of this is really critical to life on Earth. There are wondrous and amazing things about tigers and whales, but insects impact us even more on a day-to-day basis, and yet we don't think about it as often.
I was reading an article the other day about insects and fertilizer.
Okay, you have to be a little more specific.
You know,
I'm not sure
fertilizer for crops and actually growing insects in order to have it as a part of the fertilizer base.
I think what you're talking about might have to do with black soldier flies.
Yes, that's it.
Was that it? Okay.
Yes.
So mass rearing insects, as I said earlier, by way of farming with an example, is typically easy to do if you have the right species. And, well, we all know because of the dead zone in the Gulf that fertilizer, agricultural runoff is a suspect in a lot of what we're having coastally, all along the Gulf as a problem. So if you can put something organic, in this case, what's left after you've processed these black soldier flies in the ground in lieu of the chemical fertilizer, you might actually be promoting ocean health. By the way, happy World Ocean Day.
Yeah,
which it happens to be.
Happens to be, absolutely. So, your favorite insect?
I get that question a lot. It's very hard to pick, but I have leaned towards a couple of wasps in the last decade or so really heavily. There are tarantula hawks. These are wasps that specialize in hunting tarantulas for their offspring. The adult wasp actually drinks nectar from flowers. And then locally, we have velvet ants. Have you ever heard of a velvet ant?
I don't know. I was gardening the other day, and I got into an ant pile, and literally it was up my arm. I still have blisters. You can see them here.
I can. I get the same
from getting bit.
So the velvet ant is, as I said a minute ago, in fact, a wasp. The females are wingless. And out in the country around here, you see these big, fuzzy, red and black things. They look like giant ants. Some people call them cow killers. And they are fascinating. I don't know how long this interview is, but I could talk about velvet ants for a while.
Well, tell us a little bit about it.
Well, the males have wings. The females are wingless. And the females just walk around like they own the joint. And as a matter of fact, they have almost no predators. They have very slippery hairs. They have extremely hard exoskeletons. They make a sound to startle predators, and they can sting. And they're brightly colored to warn predators to stay away from them.
I've dated women that fit that description.
Well, I feel sorry for you, but if you ever just decide to raise insects, velvet ants are fascinating. They really are cool.
And so tell us about the male.
Well, the male is winged, so it's very easy if you want to be a mischievous naturalist to grab this winged thing that looks like a wasp, and it'll push on you with its abdomen, and it has a little sharp structure on the back, but there's no venom gland attached to it, so you're not actually getting hurt. And you can grab it, and all your friends will go, "Oh my God, Newell, you're crazy, you're out of your mind," and you can just say, I'm tough as nails, you know what I used to do for a living, this is nothing, and you're not really getting stung at all.
Right.
So
right.
They're a lot of fun. And the females tend to live longer than the males, and they walk around. And, oh, I forgot to tell you what they do to reproduce. Mating takes moments. Very few people ever catch velvet ants mating. It's a few seconds of an affair. Don't tell me you dated women like that, too. I know. But the female velvet ant has to find the pupa of another species of solitary bee or wasp and lay her egg next to it. So she moves around on the ground until she can find typically a burrow that she goes into, and her timing has to be right. She has to put an egg in there so that when her larva hatches, there's this great big other thing that can't get away, can't move, and it gets consumed. So when people ask us why we always want people to bring us velvet ants, we say, what would we have to do to raise that thing in captivity? It's impossible. We would have to have this other species of wasp and its whole life cycle going and time it before we put in a velvet ant that we hope has mated just to get a velvet ant ourselves. So it's easier for us to go out in the field and collect them or to ask listeners to WWL Radio to bring us a velvet ant.
There you go. And now I understand why you're so intrigued with that species.
Yeah, and they're beautiful. They really have great colors on them.
Because I seem to recall at one time you were a big spider guy.
Well, you asked me what my favorite insect was, and I answered your question.
Right.
Spiders are my favorite animals.
Right. Yeah. Thank you.
Good memory, Joel.
Because you had some at home.
Yeah, I still have a little bug room at home, and I keep tarantulas and widows and recluses and then all sorts of other spiders. I'm being distracted by my boss's boss. Hang on a second. And I'm a big fan of jumping spiders. I love green lynxes, crab spiders. Right here in the middle of town, we have these spiny-backed orb weavers, which a lot of people see and think of as crab spiders, but that's a different family altogether.
Right.
And so, you know, if people have questions about this stuff, by the way, they can contact us at the Insectarium. We love answering bug questions, but visiting is even better.
Well, and I hope that, and I know our listening audience has got a flavor for the breadth and depth of the not only experience, but the information that you have about this. And it's very much an educational experience when you visit here.
It is. And if you talk to most people who work in the zoo and museum field, we understand that people don't wake up in the morning and say, I'm going to go to the zoo and get educated. They say, I want to go to the zoo and see something fascinating, have a greater meaningful experience, enjoy some family time. All of those things are important. And we roll all of that up into a visit that we happen to put education in as well. And
right.
it's our job to add that component to the visit in a way that's engaging. And if we do our job well, we not only connect people with nature when they're here, but we take that enthusiasm beyond the walls of the building and people think about and act on behalf of the natural world.
How exciting was it for you to kind of bring the Mississippi River into your insectarium?
Well, Newell, I'm strong, but I'm not that strong. I mean, that's a lot of water. I think that, you know, previously we were two blocks away, and the facility itself, once you got in, it was a great museum. But this is a view and a cultural piece of New Orleans that you can't buy this. We got lucky. I mean, Ron Forman has had lots of great visions, and putting the Insectarium in this spot, I think, is one of them.
Yeah, absolutely.
Even though he just came and messed with us while we tried to
do exactly. And as you pointed out, one of a kind. No other place
does this. And there are terrific insectariums and wonderful aquariums all around the country, but we are proud of what we've got here, and, you know, it's brand new and it's up and running.
Well, Zach, thank you so much for joining us. It was great to see you again.
Nice to see you, too.
Our mutual friends, unfortunately, have left us, but they're off to the next chapter of their life.
And now it's going to be even harder to get one of them to become a bug fan, which she never was.
She never was. And I remember that night you tried very hard.
All the time.
All right. Thank you so much. Congratulations to you.
Thank you. Very exciting day. Thanks, Noel.
We'll be right back, folks. Stay with us. Welcome back, folks. We're here at the Aquarium and the Insectarium of the Audubon Institute. Scoot joins us. He's going to be coming your way live here on the veranda next to the river. Beautiful scenery, huh?
It really is. It really is pretty. It's nice. It's nice to be outside. It's a beautiful day. This fan is really very helpful.
That fan is golden.
A little walk over here from the parking lot. And it's a little warm in the sun.
Yeah, it's only 93, 94.
I mean, look, the Insectarium is so cool because, you know, where else can you go to see bugs? Like outside your door or at the Insectarium?
Well, just hold on. You're going to be eating them really soon.
I just had some.
They were delicious, by
the
way.
No, seriously.
They were.
You liked them? What did you eat?
Worms and crickets and all kinds of different things. Very interesting.
Okay. Well, I'll check that out. Also, I watched your Duran Duran last night, so we'll be talking about that as well.
I heard that was great, huh?
Yeah, it was good.
Awesome. All right. Scoot's up next, folks. Stay tuned. He's coming your way. Have a great Thursday. We'll see you guys soon.
Hey everyone, Boomer Esiason here. The NFL Draft is behind us and your favorite team is now gearing up for week number one. The free Odyssey app puts you right in the middle of the pro football conversation with the biggest sports radio stations from across the country. The local voices who know your team the best, giving you their unfiltered takes on the current state of your squad. It's always football season right here on the free Odyssey app.